Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Hey, I've been talking about... We could do that a little better, right? I've been talking about the blood. Specifically, I started this topic about the blood because it seems like such a, you know, if you've been a Christian all your life, it's like, of course we talk about the blood, but outside of the church, you would be like, you guys are gross. Why would you talk about the blood? Very interesting. I'm going to share a story in a minute. I began to read a book without knowing that how old it was, but it was written, compiled messages written in the early 1905, 1910, around there. And it was also relaying a story of, have anybody ever heard of Livingston? He was an explorer that went into Africa, and then Stanley, who went to find him because they couldn't find him. And they had really interesting, especially Livingston, because they found that wherever they went in Africa and different tribes around the world, here's what's interesting. All those tribes knew about the blood. Not the blood of Jesus. They knew the power of the blood covenant. So interesting. So we live in a culture now where blood is like, that's weird. Why would you ever, like, really the blood, if you really want to get down to it, the blood is often thought of in cultish terms, right? If you think of I was just thinking today of one of the worship teams that was doing worship during COVID, and they actually, a cult came in and they threw blood on them. Very grotesque. That's how I would think of it. And it was really the opposite of what, it's the opposite power of what we're talking about. So I want you to put this into mind, even nations, tribes understand the power of the blood. Occult understands the power of the blood. My question is, do we as Christians understand the power of the blood? We should, but we should on a whole nother level, right? So, last week we talked about, anybody remember what the phrase was last week? I even posted it. Does anybody remember? Oh, then I didn't get it to stick. Not without blood. Remember I talked about the fact that the high priest, and it's a scripture that says that the high priest would go into the temple and it said, not without blood. Why? Because the blood was the only thing that can purify, the blood that was the only thing that could set his sins, forgive his sins. Actually, it was covering his sins. And the high priest had to go sprinkle blood on behalf of the nation of Israel in the temple. And he could only do that if he was pure. So he had to first do with blood. And then it says he went into the temple, not without blood, so he could sprinkle blood on the mercy seat on behalf of the nation of Israel. The point was, wherever we go, not without blood. And I said this, access to God, not without blood. Salvation, not without blood. You guys work with me here. Enter into the Holy of Holies, not without the blood. Forgiveness, not without the blood. Reconciliation, not without the blood. Peace, healing, justification, redemption, not without the blood. So how important is the blood? It's everything. It's everything. No blood of Jesus, no salvation. Can you imagine? That's why I said not without the blood, because a lot of times we want to come into church and we can get into really good messages about, you know, self-help, and we can get into messages about how to fix your life. But listen, we would do you wrong if you came in and that's all you ever heard, because you won't get into heaven without the blood. Doesn't matter how good your life gets and how many good deeds you do. That's the point of salvation, that we will never, isn't that the thing, right? Well, how can that person go to hell? They're such a good person. Why? Not without the blood. And it's hard for our natural minds to get this, but we have to understand it. So let me tell you about this story. Henry Stanley I try to remember that it was like 1897, something like that. He went to go find Livingston. I was trying to remember if the Jumanji was Livingston, but it was Bravestone. But I thought, is this the same guy? But no, it's Livingston. Livingston wanted to go and discover things in Africa. So he took off and then wasn't heard from for 6 years. So Stanley wanted to go and find out what happened to Livingston. So interesting. You got to, man, Lord, help us to get the power of the understanding of this. So, you know, he goes in there. And he, at one point, I don't understand what point he finds Livingston, but on his journey, he began to find these tribes, and he began to realize how much these tribes did blood covenants. That's what they call them, a blood covenant. And he was like, ooh, like, I'm not doing a blood covenant with a tribe. This is like occultish or something like that. And his translator would be like, I don't understand. Like, why don't you want to do this? He's like, I'm not doing it. So he goes to one tribe he gets connected with, which is very dangerous. These were powerful tribes that could kill you easily. And at this point, Henry was getting very sick. He was getting frail. And again, he comes to this very powerful tribe, and the translator's like, why won't you make a covenant with him, a blood covenant? And finally, Henry goes like, why is it so important that I make a covenant with him? He says, because you don't understand. If you make a blood covenant with him, he will protect you. He's like, okay, so what do I have to do? He's like, well, we're going to cut our wrists, upper arm, and we're going to put it together, and we're going to smear the blood together, and it's also going to drip into a wine glass with wine, and we're going to drink it. He's like, oh my gosh. Like, I can imagine going, like, all of us would be like, this is occult practices. I'm out of here. So follow the story. He hums and haws, and he realizes he also has his boat with all his goods, with the people that are watching it, like they're getting worn out. He's like, I got to do something. She's like, all right. So they work on this covenant together, back and forth, of what it'll look like. They don't give details of what it'll look like. But finally, the head of this tribe, they get together, the head of the tribe, and Henry's there, and they're like, okay, let's do this. So first of all, they explain the rules of what the covenant's going to be. Okay, we agree on that. What they do is, the next thing is that they present gifts to each other. So it was funny, because I thought when I first read it, it said that the tribe member wanted a coat, but it was a goat. It makes much more sense with the goat. So Henry has ailments, and he's using this goat for the milk, and he's like, this is literally all I have, but if that's all I have, I'm going to give the goat. And that the chief goes, all right, so I got the goat. I'm going to give you my copper spear. And Henry in his mind's like, well, I just lost. Like, I gave you something that's going to sustain you, and I got a spear. Thank you very much. So he doesn't fully understand, but he takes the spear. And then because they are two older people, they both have substitutes that will come in and will actually do the blood covenant on their behalf. So Stanley's like, oh, thank God. So the tribe member gets his person. Henry gets his person from England, because he's from England. They cut their wrists. They do the blood covenant, drips into a wine glass. They drink the wine glass with the blood. And then they also put gunpowder, so they'll have a mark once it heals that says, we are blood brothers. Now, even though it's the two substitutes, it's actually the tribe king and Henry that's making this oath to each other. Now, it gets even crazier, because before they do that, they each have to declare what will happen to each other if it's not followed. And it's curses. If you break this covenant, blah, 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 will happen to you. And then Henry has to go, if you break this covenant, blah, 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 what happened to you? Curses. And then they make this blood covenant. And at the end of it, they go, we are blood brothers. Here's what's amazing. Henry still is not fully aware of how powerful this is. And he just thinks he has a spear. But all of a sudden, he starts walking around with a spear, because the translator's like, that spear, you should probably take it with you wherever you go. And wherever he goes, the people bow, because he has the spear. Because that spear represented the tribal king, the tribal leader. And if he had the spear, that meant he was a brother of the king, and whatever power the king had, he had. True story. That's why the translator's like, why don't you want to make a covenant with this man? You're like, you're so afraid. It gets better because these men that were guarding the ship with all their goods because they were trying to sell it to these people, if they brought anything into the tribal market, they'd have to protect it because people would steal it. After the blood covenant, they said they could leave it wherever they want and nobody would touch it because it belonged to the king and his brother. Blood covenant. You know, we've talked at different times. I want to just remind you, we've talked at different times of covenants. And maybe you guys can tell me as I explain the covenants, because there's three different types. The first one is, we will talk about just quickly, is a kinship covenant. A kinship covenant is like a marriage covenant. You know, when you get married, it's not my wife or my husband will now do for me. What is it? It's a mutual agreement where we will both work together on this. That's a kinship covenant. If you got married and you didn't know that, that's what that is. It's not my wife does the dishes and does the cleaning and all that. It's no, we partner together to make this work, however that looks. Kinship agreement. A vassal covenant. A vassal covenant is what Moses entered into, which is one superior person, which is God in this, in the Moses covenant, where Moses has to, with the people, has to do what God asks in order to be blessed. And so that's why in Deuteronomy, in different places, you'll see, if you, I will, if you. Here are the blessings, if you, and here are the curses, if you, okay? But there's one other covenant. It's called a grant covenant. It's a covenant where a greater and a lesser person come into covenant. And the greater one took on all the obligations. The lesser one only needed to receive the covenant. So which one in this story did they take with the tribe? Was it a grant, kinship, or vassal? In many ways, it was a grant covenant, although they had to, if you know, breaking it would bring curses, but this man had nothing to give. He gave a goat to the tribal leader. Do you think the tribal leader needed a goat? No. He said that it was a powerful tribe, that obviously he had a lot of goods and whatever that looks like in Africa. But Henry's like, here's my goat. And he's like, here's my staff. Who got the better end of the deal? Henry. It's a grant covenant because he's like, this more powerful king just gave me access to everything that he has. That's literally what they do. It's a blood covenant that says, all that I have, all that I am is now yours because we're brothers. And they literally would treat each other like brothers from there on in. The crazy thing is that all the tribes they ever encountered all understood blood covenant. I think it's odd that as Christians we don't. Because did you know that you have a blood covenant with Jesus? Amen. But do we understand that we have a blood covenant with Jesus? Here's the awesome thing we learned about Abraham at the beginning of this series. Abraham goes to cut a covenant. That's what it was called, cutting a covenant with God. Because God, he meets God. Nobody knows God at this point. This is Abraham meeting God. And God says, I have promises for you. I'm going to make you a great nation. You are going to have, you know, so many kids. At this point, Abraham has no kids. He's like, you're going to just be amazed at how much I bless you. And he says, I'm going to cut a covenant with you. And so Abraham, based on the fact that all these, again, people know about blood covenants in this time. So obviously in the foundation of time, God put blood covenants as an important thing. So Abraham's expecting to do something. He cuts the covenant. But the cool thing is, just before he's about to partake of it, Abraham is put into a deep sleep by God, and God actually walks through it. And God swears by his own name. He doesn't swear by Abraham. He doesn't say, Abraham, you have to. He basically says, I swear on my name that this will all come to pass. That's a grand covenant. So as little teeny people, we're looking at God going, God, this is on you? Yeah, it's on me. Not me, it's on me. So fast forward many, many years later, and this is the thing I've been trying to get. This whole plan, sometimes we look at that Old Testament, we're like, I don't understand how this is all gonna unfold. And yet you look at the Old Testament and he's building for this one epic moment where Jesus dies on the cross. And what we don't realize, the disciples would have in some sense when he said at the Last Supper, this is the cup of my covenant, the cup of my blood of the new covenant, which we don't get, but they would have been like, whoa, 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 new covenant? We've been under the Mosaic covenant. What do you mean? You're cutting a new covenant? Yeah, watch. Goes on the cross. Blood is shed when they stab him in the side. And they realize for that moment, all of a sudden, they are under a new covenant. Now, we've talked a lot about the different things. We said at the very beginning, what do we read out? Salvation. So let's look at that. Salvation. I can't have salvation unless I'm pure. I can only be pure if I have forgiveness. I can only get forgiveness if a God forgives me. God forgives me because he cut a covenant and he forgives me because of the blood. Me, why? Because pure and justified because of the blood. That's the only way it can happen. The Holy Spirit can live in me. Why? Because I'm now purified and justified. Why? Because of the blood. How important is the blood? Absolutely. We read the scripture because of time, and we're gonna go to the barbecue. We read the scripture where it said, once you were far off. And last week we looked at the fact that it wasn't just because of their sin that they were far off. He was talking to the Gentiles, the Roman people. And he said, listen, you guys didn't even have access to God. Like, you were not Jewish. You didn't have access to God. But because of the cross, you are now brought close and you get all the promises we got. That's amazing. Why? Because of covenant. We talked about purification, justification. We talked about salvation. We talked about coming close. But I want to close this series out with, do we understand that with the blood covenant that we are brothers with Jesus? So I want you to go back to that moment where they take the wrist and they put it together and the blood mixes. And in that moment, as they drink the cup that we drink of his suffering, he says, you're now my brother. Here's where I know I'm missing it. I'm going to talk for myself. I don't think I fully understand what I've been given. Because if I truly understood that my brother is Jesus, and not only am I his brother, I carry his authority and his name, I think I would see a lot of different things in my life. Like, I was thinking about you, Erica, because we're going to pray for you at the end of the service. But I think it's about time that our faith arises. This is why I'm trying to do this series. If we can get this imagery to go, I have a blood covenant with the king and his staff in my hand. And his name carries all the authority that I need. We should, based on that authority, tell cancer to go, and it should go. Now, I've been frustrated just like you, but as I read this, I'm like, oh, Lord, help us to arise in the authority. Because I'm hearing this guy's stories after, this is 1905 that he's getting this revelation. For a long time after that, it laid dormant. And then we have people like Bethel that picked it up to go, do we know who we are? I'm like, this guy got it in 1905. What are we even doing? The apostles had it and it lied dormant after that for a while. And all we try to do is take authority and we try to take over civilizations with it. I'm like, Jesus, like, that has nothing to do with me. I gave you authority to what? Well, let me remind you what he gave us authority to do. He gave us authority, if you want to turn there, because I'm turning somewhere. I'm just going to read it. Don't turn. You can later on if you want. There's so many different scriptures, and I seem to have lost it. The Great Commission. Jesus said, he came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, because basically he's saying, well, I've given it to you too. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's what he called us to do. He didn't call us to take over nations. He said, go baptize nations. He didn't call us to take over people. He said, go love people. You following me? I'm going to read something. I want you to turn there because I think it's really good to follow this part. Acts 19, verse 11. And this one scripture, I'm going to show you what it looks like if you don't have a blood covenant with Jesus. I don't care how good your life is. I don't care how many good things you do. I don't care how many self-helps you've done. It doesn't even matter if you grew up as a Jew and you grew up with all the rules and all the laws and you followed them all. Watch what happens in the new kingdom under a new covenant. Acts 19, verse 11. If you're there, say I'm there. If you should have your phone open, Bible app, it's really handy. Acts 19, verse 11 says, now God worked, this is Paul. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Is it possible that Paul went, it says, to the backside of the desert and got such revelation of who he was that that's why this happened? I think so. It says, then some of the itinerant, there we go, Jewish exorcists, okay, so these are Jewish-born exorcists trying to cast out spirits, so they were Jewish. So before the cross, they had all the power because they were Jewish. After the cross, they're in a new covenant. Watch what happens. They took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus, so they're using the name, over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. You got to catch this. It's not who I believe in. It's like, we're using the name that Paul uses because he's having way more success than we do. Have you ever tried that? You read a book and I'm like, I'm doing what the book says. And God wants us to get the revelation. That's why I feel like this is so important. So he's like, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. Look at, and the evil spirit answered. That's a bad day. When you're casting out a spirit and the spirit answers you back. And this is what they said. This gets really bad. It says, and the spirit answers and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? That's a bad thing. Now you think, it's easy for our minds to go, well, maybe they weren't holy enough. Maybe they didn't pray enough. No. The only difference was Paul was under the new covenant. They were under the old covenant. Paul was a brother to Jesus, had a blood covenant with Jesus. They did not. So the demons are like, I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who the heck are you? Gets even better. Read a little. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. It's a bad day. Sometimes religion makes Christianity so difficult. And Jesus made it so simple. He literally says, will you accept what I've done? I laid down my life. Will you come to know me and accept the blood that I shed on the cross so you can be my brother? If you look not, it wasn't like Henry had to do all these things. It was, this is what will happen to you if you do not. You could go to the store and say, if you try to do in my tribe what I do without this blood covering, you're going to get ripped apart. But if you have the blood covering and you have the brotherhood of the king, you will walk around with authority that I carry. Paul somehow got this authority. He understood in that moment, because they understood blood coverings, that he's like, I think on the backside of a desert, because the other disciples were still trying to catch up when he shows up. He's like, listen, Jesus is our king. Jesus is our brother. That's why Paul writes all the New Testament, because he had this revelation of, I'm pure because of it. Well, no, Paul, you're not pure. You killed how many people did you kill? That's my old life. That's my old man. I didn't kill anybody in my new man. I am pure before God. I am sanctified. I'm purified. I'm justified. I am worthy and holy. And not only that, this is the point today, I carry his authority. So I could walk around and I could tell things to go. They can't, because they're under the old covenant. What covenant are we under? New. So what I want to get out of this is, when we pray for people, we need to stop going, well, maybe, I don't know, am I good enough today? No, I carry the staff of the king. I carry his authority. There's nothing that I have that can make cancer disappear, but I have the authority and the name of Jesus that can make it disappear. Amen? Amen? Ah! As I read that story, I'm like, God, we are living so much lower. There's so much happening in the world today. I'm like, this is all frivolous stuff, the things that we're arguing about. It's actually, there's a world waiting for a people that will grab a hold of their kingship with Jesus and serve the world, not take it over. Looking for a people that will love people unconditionally. I look at the stories and the things that are being spoken of them. I'm like, Lord, help us to have the heart of the Father and the Son, because we're not showing Jesus and we're not giving him any credit right now. There's a lot of stuff, but all I'm concerned with right now is help us to become more like Jesus. Because if we think we live in a time that's confusing, I can only imagine what it was like for them going into a Roman culture and a Greek culture and all the things that they faced. Research it at some point and look at what the cultures look like. We still live in good cultures. It's a little weird right now. But overall, we live in cultures that are not like their cultures. Read Corinthians, when they were trying to explain, okay, I know you've all come to the Lord now. You know that whole temple prostitution thing you used to do? It really doesn't work in the new covenant. Just let's throw that out. Like, seriously, this is stuff that they were trying to work out. People were coming to the Lord as temple prostitutes and thinking, I'm still a temple prostitute. No, we're going to work through this. Amen? So today, you get to know that you carry the staff of the king. What does that get? What do you get to do with it? You get to serve people with it. You don't get to rule over them. That's where we get it wrong. You get to serve them.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.